All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of Tope Suicida, Colorado's newest pro wrestling podcast. With me, as always, Ajum. Ajum, say what's up, man.
We're back again. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone.
Yeah, welcome back indeed. Today, a little bit of a scenery change. We're out on the patio doing a recording of this show. Want to jump right into it. Let's get Bash in Berlin. Let's just go through that match card, kind of give our predictions, and we'll do this one quick tonight and call it a wrap on it.
Sounds good. It's coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow, indeed. So, looks like we are doing Bash in Berlin. Obviously, Germany. Looks like it's coming live from the Uber Arena. Five matches on this card. If we compare this show to basically what we saw last weekend at All In, it's vastly different as far as matches that there is on the card. Looks like five for tomorrow. All In had like 10 plus easily.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Now, let's get right into the brass tacks of all this. Tomorrow's Bash in Berlin card. This is kind of just a prelude for like the big drama set for Bad Blood, you know, in a month. It seems like this was more of like a glorified house show card. Let's just jump right into it. First match, likely going to be Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest versus Liv and Dominic. Looks like we have the Terror Twins taking on the newly formed or newly renovated version of the Judgment Day. Ajum, who do you think is going to win this match? Who do you think is going to shine? Just break it down for me. Tell me what you kind of think is going to happen here.
Of course. So first off, I think the Terror Twins are going to win. You already have Liv with the title. It's been kind of back and forth with the Judgment Day getting the advantage over them, but in general, the Terror Twins have looked pretty dominant, so I don't think they've set up Liv and Dominic to win this. But as far as the showcase, I think it'll be good for Rhea, so she'll look great in the match. I think they're still going to have Liv look credible, so I think Liv versus Rhea is going to be kind of the star of that match.
Sure.
Damian, he's pretty solid, but Dominic, you know, he's not one to really carry a match. He has, like, good singular moves, and he can take bumps pretty well. But I think that's going to kind of lack a little bit compared to Rhea and Liv.
For sure.
So I think the women will kind of steal that match, but I do see the Terror Twins winning in the end.
All right, for sure. Well, with that being said, in my personal opinion, I completely agree with you. I do think that in this match, Terror Twins are going to win it for the simple fact that it just kind of sets up better for the next PLE. Now, we know that next PLE is going to be Bad Blood, Atlanta, Georgia. I assume that this match is going to have some sort of implication that plays into the pay-per-view next month, or PLE next month, I should say. Do we think that Finn Balor potentially costs the Terror Twins the match?
I think you have to do that if you're going to have Judgment Day win. There's no way Liv and Dominic should win this match clean.
Fair enough. Now, in my personal opinion, which isn't really anything special, but I think that aside from Liv and Dominic winning with the outside interference, let's say Rhea and Damian win this match. Do we see Rhea pin Dominic Mysterio with her signature pin?
I don't think they're going to do that. I would love it if they did, but I don't think they're going to do that.
Well, with this new, you know, era that has been kind of ushered in, I wouldn't say that anything is off the table as far as that goes.
Hey, if they want to do it, I'll be there for it for sure. But I just, I don't know if that seems to be very high up on the spectrum there, because they're very protective of their mixed tag matches. So
for sure. I just think that, you know, with this being a one-off kind of show in another country, which are notorious for, you know, hosting some of the better crowds and just overall crowd reactions, I can't even imagine what the pop would look like if Rhea was able to get Dom, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, basically pin him like that.
Yeah.
Now, like you said, WWE is really protective of how they, you know, kind of do that.
Yeah, I was shocked way back in the day when they even let Triple H do some offense against Ronda in that tag match. So to have actual pin take place, I don't know.
See, I think that we're moving towards an era with WWE that's going to be a little bit more lenient with that. Like, you know, women get into this sport because they're, you know, just as good, if not better, than some men.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we've seen mixed matches in the past with, you know, like Kenny Omega. We've seen just a multitude, you know, of man versus women style matches.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes can potentially steal the show.
I think Will Ospreay did one that was pretty good a while back from what I remember.
Yeah, absolutely. So that just kind of leads me into saying, like, I think that, you know, that idea could be a little bit more plausible than what most people would think, which I'm, like I said, like you said, just down for. I think it would be a really good like touch on the show because it gives that comedic element to a really serious storyline, which is, you know, something the storyline really hasn't had a whole lot of.
Yeah.
You know, the next one we get into basically just built on comedy, but this Judgment Day whole saga has actually been, you know, a little bit drama filled. It kind of does have you sitting on the edge of your seat wondering what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm definitely excited to see what happens with that match. I think that it has the makings to, you know, potentially even be a show stealer.
Yeah, and to your point, I think that's why it would be a good opener for the event too. But it's just with Liv already having the title, I just don't see Judgment Day getting anything from the win. Right. So, I think if you're going to set up a bigger story with Finn and Damian for that match, maybe, but...
Yeah, and I don't know where Dom would fit into all that, because, like, let's say that Finn does get involved. Then that sets up for Finn and Damian, and then that'll kind of just cause the last chance match for Rhea because of the outside interference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Adam Pearce will let her have one match, probably be inside of, like, a steel cage or something like that. Just kind of, you know, spitball in there.
Well, yeah, I think if you do another match between Liv and Rhea, it needs to be some type of stipulation.
Yeah, but the reason I say steel cage is because they're always, that's their go-to of like, oh, this is the, you can't have anyone protect you in here.
Yeah.
When we all know, you know, funky stuff happens there.
Pretty much every match.
So that's kind of why it leads me to also say that if it's not a steel cage, likelihood of, let's say, the Terror Twins versus Finn and Liv inside of Hell in a Cell.
Hmm.
You know, that's something I could see happening. And then when Raw moves to Netflix, maybe doing Rhea versus Liv by themselves, but letting Liv kind of carry the title for a few more months.
Yeah, she's been pretty popular with it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a really good storyline going on, too. So it's not like they're just holding the title hostage in a way that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I would just be curious to see what other competitors they would have for the title outside of Rhea, because right now Liv hasn't really defended it against anyone else.
Yeah, I think that we'll see the return of Charlotte. I think that would be like the first big feud Charlotte has that doesn't result in her, you know, obviously winning a championship, which I'm not opposed to. I'm not trying to hate.
That's the notorious for her when she comes back. So she doesn't need. So to me, you have her come back strong in the main event scene, but you don't need to put a title on her right away.
Right, right. And then, you know, you set up a future feud, kind of just lay down the early foundation for Rhea and Charlotte, you know, something like that. Because, I mean, let's be honest, there's not a lot of heel females in the locker room right now that are name worthy.
Yeah.
But I can't even think of one on Raw right now, except for Liv.
Yeah, Raw, you're kind of stuck with all those tag teams, so like the Pure Fusion Collective, whatever they're.
But even at that, I mean,
but none of them are really credible on their own.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We could talk about this match all night long. The next match that we want to get into, which potentially, it's up in the air. The next two matches kind of like where they're going to be placed on the card. The next two matches were CM Punk and McIntyre in the strap match, and then the women's tag team title match.
Oh, yeah.
If I were to guess, I would probably say CM Punk and McIntyre will go second. I don't know why I think that, but I think that they'd probably place that females match in between, you know, two really good potential segments with, you know, CM Punk and McIntyre followed up by Cody and Kevin just for, you know, the crowd to kind of keep electric during that time.
Yeah.
As far as CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, I think this match, you know, like I said in the past, I think that this has just been more of a comedic element than really anything. I know it's supposed to be serious. I know it's supposed to be taken like a
blood feud.
Yeah, blood feud, like you were saying. I just haven't had that element during this. And then they write Seth Rollins off with like an outside interference from Bronson Reed.
Yeah.
So where does Seth fit back into all this when he comes back, you know?
That kind of gets into what I was talking about before, though, where it didn't seem like there was a way for all three of them to still be involved with the feud. Now, Seth got a legitimate injury that he had to get taken care of, so that's what took him out of it. But I'm personally fine with it only being two people at a time, because I feel like they don't want to have all three involved constantly. And plus, I mean, Seth really doesn't have much beef with them anymore if you really think about it at this point.
Yeah.
Like, he refereed their match. He didn't really want either one of them to win. So, I mean, I guess they could find some way to get him involved again, but
yeah,
I think the bigger feud is between Drew and Punk.
For right now, definitely, I guess so. Now, in this match, I personally think CM Punk's going to win. kind of helps set up the trilogy for Bad Blood. I'm really excited for that PLE. Anything with blood in the name, I'm here for. Now, for the match tomorrow, like I said, I think CM Punk wins. I think it's probably another 12 to 15 minute match. It's not going to be one of those, instant classics type of matches. I think it's going to be a little bit more physical, a little bit more storytelling than their previous match. The previous match had that element of Seth Rollins in it, which, you know, like you said, you never really knew who he was going to turn on or who he was going to choose to help in that situation. But with this match tomorrow, I think, like I said, it sets up another element for, you know, that third trilogy, the end all be all for, you know, Punk and McIntyre. As far as winning goes, or as far as like future match goes with them, I don't know what they could do next that would be really beneficial besides a 2 out of 3 falls match, but that doesn't really have like a whole lot of like pop to it when you think about two like bruiser style wrestlers rather than technical.
Yeah, I mean, as far as stipulations, to me, you can only really go to last man standing from here.
Yeah.
Because right now, this is a strap match. So there's going to be heavy gimmicked for the match anyway with the win condition. So if Drew loses, which he should lose, then he can complain about the stipulation being the issue. And so then, I mean, there's technically other stipulations you could do that are a step up from a strap match. But especially if the third match is going to be the ending, then last man standing.
Last man standing or I quit.
Yeah, that could be good.
See, and then the only problem I have with both of those matches is, like, you have to beat your opponent badly enough for them to stay down or to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, when those matches happen, the other person is away from TV for a few months, which would kind of fall in line with either of them coming back right in time for the Netflix show, obviously.
Yeah.
Do you think CM Punk's taking a little break after this feud's over?
I think so. If you're going to do a kind of final match that quickly, because it's only a 1 month turnaround, then yeah, you got to have be Punk, keep him off TV for a bit, and then have him come back around Royal Rumble time.
For sure. What do you see happening in this match? Anything funky or just again?
I think it'll just be straight up between those two, so I don't see any interference. I think it'll be heavy storytelling, so Drew's going to be flashing the bracelet, trying to distract Punk with it. Punk will probably be yapping at Drew the whole match, which Drew's pretty good at that too. So I think probably Drew will be acting more like the heel in the match, so you'll see more of those type of tactics from him. But I think Punk will win. It'll be a nice feel-good thing for the crowd, since he'll be a face in the match as well. But yeah, I think it's going to just be playing up the stipulation, so they're going to do a lot of creative things with the straps, a lot of whipping. Maybe they do a choking spot with the straps, things like that. But
you think we get any sort of like AEW-style moments where, you know, CM Punk or Drew get hung up on that corner rope, you know, from the outside, kind of choke your opponent out style? Or you think we're in a...
I could see them like doing it with like their arms, so
not
like
with
someone
the strap.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna like hang the strap from the corner,
you know, hangman and swerve.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna do that, but I could see them someone pulling it, like, for dropping sure. them out of the ring, then for they sure. pull it with their arms, so
yeah,
kind of the safe middle ground.
Absolutely agree. Okay, well then the next match, which like we said kind of goes back and forth here, we're not, you know, absolutely sure second and third match here.
Oh, yeah.
The third match that I personally would think would be the tag team championships for the women, Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn versus Bianca and Jade. This match finally has the writing on the wall for Jade or Bianca to turn on one another.
I think so, yeah.
Now, do I think we rush this feud now and get it to Bad Blood, or are we going to wait until Survivor Series? Or do you think that first match takes place at Bad Blood and then we see like another double to triple style match between them?
I think it depends on when the turn happens. So I think if the turn happens in the match,
like let's say that they lose, Jade and Bianca. Bianca or Jade goes over to Bianca to help her up, you know, because Bianca takes the pin.
Mm-hmm.
Jade goes in there to help her up, you know, hold Bianca's hand up high. You know, we've seen it in the past. Yeah. The typical turn your back on your partner type of, you know, celebration. Do you think that, let's say that Bianca turns tomorrow, you think that sets up enough time between now and October 5th?
Well, see, I have Jade turning of the two, so I think they'll keep Bianca as a face.
See, the problem is that with Jade, she's still new enough that the crowd is still eager to see her.
Mm-hmm.
So if they turn her heel this quickly, I think that it's going to kind of turn people sour on her and not really be interested or invested in, you know, her character, because she is still really green.
Yeah.
So as a baby face, she can get away with it a little bit more because she can be a little bit more apologetic on it. through socials or even on screen work.
Yeah, that's a good point. For me, just within the dynamic now, I've already seen some more heelish tendencies from Jade, whereas Bianca's been pretty steady the whole way through. So I don't see why Bianca would turn.
Well, I mean, we've seen crazier things. You remember Ciampa and Gargano back in NXT?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We saw it with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, you know?
Yeah.
We've seen it all too many times, you know? It's happened between, you know... shit, drawn a blank. It's happened a lot. It's a recycled storyline, mm-hmm. you know? So it's something that could possibly happen. The reason I say Bianca so firmly is because... When people try to say that she's like the female version of Cena, there's one big difference that she doesn't do versus, you know, Cena was doing. And she may do a small amount of it, but it's the charity work. John Cena was noteworthy for that. So for people thinking that she'd be like the female Cena, I think they can get away with it here before her career really, really takes off.
Right.
Because let's be real, she still has 10 to 15 years left in the business.
Yeah.
You know, as a full-time wrestler.
Yeah, she's had a really good start, but yeah, I don't think she's slowing down anytime soon.
Right.
But I would say that the story isn't built for her to turn, so if Bianca's doing the turning, then I don't think they can turn around to a bad blood match. They got to be building that out a little bit longer.
Okay, for sure. Yeah, because the only reason I say it is because we saw it with Shayna and Ronda last year, and it did not work out well.
No.
You know, it was a rapid turnaround, but that was because Ronda was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for Bianca, I think that it would be a good way to set up like a submission match, their first match at Bad Blood, mm-hmm. something like that, or a Falls Count Anywhere style match.
I would just, like I said, I would worry about them rushing the story side of it if Bianca's the one that does the turn. If it's Jade, then I think they've already sown some seeds, so yeah, pull the trigger on that. But Bianca, yeah, I would say at least we need a couple of pay-per-views or PLE cycles.
Yeah, see, and the reason that I guess I'm so strongly placed with that, like the way I look at it, is because no one would expect it from her.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a surprise.
So I think that's what can make them money right there, is that element right there.
Yeah, that'd be a good talking point for the show, too.
Absolutely. And it helps you get by with the lack of women representation on Raw,
mm-hmm.
because there's not a lot of singles competitors for that title.
Well, yeah, but Bianca and Jade are still on SmackDown, though.
Oh, I know. I mean, when they move to Netflix, because let's be real, right. They'll probably both be shipped over to Raw for
at
that.
At least one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably Jade, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at pure star power, it's kind of unfortunate to say Bianca's not where Jade is as far as, like, star power goes. And that's to no fault of Bianca. Jade was just, like, the first or second big name, I should say, that jumped ship from AEW to WWE. And she just so happened to be a female.
Well, and plus, too, not to cut you off, but no, there's already been people feeling like Bianca's character has gotten stale. So that would be the one thing that would be a reason to turn her heel.
Which, that's what we all said about Roman.
Yeah.
You know, when Roman was babyface of the decade, mm-hmm. for the 2010 era, you know, I think that they need to strike... Well, the iron would be hot, because if she did turn heel, she would still be super over because no one saw it coming. And it allows Jade to go on a pretty good babyface run, at least until next WrestleMania, potentially setting her up for winning one of the women's championships. I mean, let's be real here. She's definitely the future of women's pro wrestling at this point.
Yeah.
So getting her into that superstardom level on a singles level is going to be, you know, beneficial mm-hmm. because... Bianca's the perfect person to have, like, a good singles feud with.
Well, yeah, if you go over on Bianca, that's going to solidify you in the main event scene.
Right. Now, you know how I look at these kinds of matches. Like, these women's tag team titles, I feel like, are just haunted. I don't really prefer to watch these tag matches because there's already a lack of star power in the singles division when mm-hmm. it comes to that. So when you just have all these tag teams, I feel like it just kind of oversaturates an already, you know, pretty full pond.
Yeah, I just kind of look at it as the tag team division on the men's side is already inconsistent. And so with the women, there's not as many teams. So
right.
It's tough to build two or three solid women's tag teams that have been around for a while. So like Jade and Bianca, yeah, they're strong, but that's because they're strong singles competitors. So you look
right.
at their tag team matches, there haven't actually been that many good tag team matches with them involved.
Right.
So it's a lot of that, where you have good stars in the tag teams, but they haven't had good tag team matches.
Right.
But the Unholy Union, they have been a team for a while. I mean, they kind of got buried in their main roster call-up, but they have been trying to push them a little bit, and they've got Blair helping them out now too. So then you'll have Naomi potentially on Jade and Bianca's side as well. So it is somewhat of an interesting pairing there. It's just that whenever you see the Unholy Union in matches, they never really look that dominant. It's always a lot of fluky stuff that happens right when they win. So that's why, for me, there's a question of when the turn happens, because I honestly think if the Unholy Union wins, the turn has to happen during the match. And that's where my theory with Jade came in, because she's already shown heel tendencies and tendencies to get frustrated, things like that in matches. So if you're going to have that take place, that would be a way to have the Unholy Union win the titles. If, like, Jade turned on Bianca, it's 2-on-1 towards the end of the match, they lose the match that way. But if they do somehow make it a good quality match, then, yeah, I could see the turn happening afterwards. And I don't know what they would do character-wise with Bianca as a heel, but it would definitely be a surprise.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot you can do, because, like you said, one of the two are definitely going to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe that these two women are the, at least in the next 6 to 12 months, are both going to carry a world championship for both brands. You know, Bianca on one, Jade on the other.
I don't know about that, because you still got Tiffy Time rolling and Nia.
Yeah, but like I said, we can't keep the belts on everyone for a long time right now, especially with all the star power that is in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, I would say at some point in the next year, Jade should have a world title. Bianca, I don't know, though, because the fans already got burned out of her, so she kind of got into an early Charlotte boat where people were tired of her.
People were tired of the babyface gimmick. That's what people are tired
of.
That's
true.
As a heel, look what it did for Roman.
Mm-hmm.
He got so over, he carried a belt for almost 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years. If a woman was to do that for even a quarter of the time, let's say Bianca wins that belt, holds it from, let's just spitball, let's say next WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. She holds it for a full year plus to maybe the next WrestleMania, next SummerSlam.
Right.
That's really unheard of on the women's side. Yeah. Now, in regards to what that would look like, I mean, you would almost build her the way you built Roman. There's nobody on either side that can stop her. The only person that could was Jade. Jade's champion. She has no business with Bianca. Yeah. So I think that it would set it up perfectly, because they stay on their own brands and they're basically the face of each of their, promotions, or I should say nights.
Yeah. Yeah, if they turn Bianca heel, I could agree with that.
For sure. All right, now let's keep the wheels turning. The next match, American Nightmare versus Kevin Owens. I think we all agree Cody Rhodes definitely going to win this match.
Yeah.
Not for the reasons that people may think, though. I think that Cody Rhodes wins this match, you know, after a nice, hard-fought, you know, technical style, as well as, you know, boxing style match. Kevin Owens is definitely going to get in a lot of offense. He's going to have some false finishes on Cody. He's probably going to hit the stunner. You know, I think that all those things can happen, and it'll keep Cody strong. But at the end of the day, I think Cody's going to win just off of, you know, just like the three count. Like, I know that sounds really weird, but I think that Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens are going to have the same style of match that Batista and Cena had, where Batista only had to be 3 seconds better than John Cena. You remember that from SummerSlam 13 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's going to be almost the style of match we see, where Cody Rhodes just edges out Kevin Owens in a really hard-fought battle.
Yeah, I could see that. I think they're going to be pretty evenly represented, so there'll be some good offense on both sides. But since Cody kind of has that traditional babyface type gimmick to him, he's going to have to be taking more bumps than Kevin towards the end of the match, and then get that unexpected fiery comeback.
Yep.
And then he was able to put Kevin away clean.
For sure. Now, if this match was the main event over Gunther and Randy, I think that this match would play out differently. Not saying Kevin Owens wins.
Well, yeah, there'd be probably like a heel turn at that point then.
But yeah, that's what I was saying. So I think that, let's say Cody Rhodes, you know, beats Kevin Owens clean, center of the ring, you know, Cody leaves, you know, Kevin Owens walks out on his own, you know, with no one there. I think that it leads into our next match, which, before we get into it, you agree Cody Rhodes winning that one?
Oh, yeah. I think Cody's going to win.
Okay. Now, to kind of go into this final match, which is Gunther and Randy Orton. I think we all agree Gunther is going to hold on to his title. Yeah. But I don't think it's going to be like a clean finish like everyone thinks it'll be. I'm thinking that this is where we see the Kevin Owens heel turn. And the reason I say that is because, let's say Randy's about to beat Gunther, you know, just hit an RKO. Kevin Owens comes in, you know, just pissed that he lost his opportunity to win the belt and cost Randy a shot at his. Everyone is thinking that we're going to get like a heel turn from Randy on Cody Rhodes. And,
yeah,
you know, I think that's like the obvious answer, sure, but why would you want to do, you know, the obvious thing here? I think that Kevin Owens turning heel on Randy Orton and Randy Orton's world title match, as he looks like he's about to win, would do more than him turning heel on Cody Rhodes and then going from there. I think Cody comes out to make the save, and then, you know, because Kevin cost him his title, you know, Cody and Randy next week say, hey, I'll give you a shot at the title at Bad Blood. You know, I want you to have a fair chance at winning this belt. Kind of just, you know, something like that. And I think it would work out if executed properly. And what I mean by that is the heel turn has to, I don't know how to explain it. It has to look reasonable. Like they have to really play the part well to make it look like Randy's going to win the belt. I think that would be really beneficial for both of them, because then, you know, who knows what that kind of sets up. It allows the story to continue to go a little bit further with Cody being involved with both of them. And it's not like a quick, you know, finish before the end of the year, I guess.
Yeah.
A little long-winded. I don't know what I was trying to say there.
No, I'm following you. And so, I guess for me, it's just tough because Kevin already was saying he didn't really want the Universal title match. So for him to be so frustrated at the loss that he turns heel, like, I'm worried about him turning heel during the match with Cody. But if he gets past that, I'm just worried about him having motivation to then turn heel against Randy. I don't know what his drive would be for that.
Fair enough. The way I'm looking at it, maybe I'm just reading too much into it, is we saw last week when Kevin was going to hand the title to Cody, looked like he was going to take him out.
Yeah.
So I don't know why, but my gut is telling me that we're going to see a Kevin Owens heel turn versus a Randy Orton heel turn.
Okay. I mean, I could see that, because the whole point of having the Randy heel turn was to get him in the main event picture for a title, and they've already achieved that with the botch with the Gunther match. So, of the two, it makes more sense for Kevin to go heel, since they've already been showing his background on turning on people.
Which could potentially lead into a triple threat at Bad Blood.
Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, it's just tough. Because, I mean, to me, if you're going to have Kevin turn heel in the match with Randy and Gunther, then it's something like Ludwig was out there, Kevin comes out to even the odds, and then Randy overcomes, about to win, and then Kevin pulls him out of the ring or something like that.
You know, kind of like Jimmy and Jay style when Jay was going up against Roman.
Yeah, so to me, like, that'd be your setup potentially for it. But then it's like, well, what's the motivation, though? Because Kevin's fine with Randy on a personal level, and then he shouldn't be that upset. I mean, obviously, he'll be upset that he lost, but it's like, you didn't want the match. So how are you going to snap from losing to where now you're heel, when your whole thing was, I don't deserve the match and I'm your friend?
Right.
So then I lose and I'm not your friend now and I'm mad I lost? So that's the part that would be weird to me. It's like the turning part makes sense, but to me, it would have to happen in the Cody match. I'm just not sure how they get the motivation portrayed in the Randy match.
Right.
Okay. But, I mean, hey, if they do it, kind of like with the Bianca thing, I would be very surprised. So I'm all for it, because I do think Kevin needs to turn heel compared to Randy.
For sure.
So
I definitely do
find a way to do it, hey.
Yeah, I definitely think we're in for a surprise tomorrow. Bash in Berlin, live from Germany, Uber Arena. 11 a.m. start time for us here in Colorado. Obviously, you know, varies across the country. Definitely check out this pay-per-view, guys. I think this is going to be, you know, one of those short-style PLEs that has potential to have, like, a card of the year. Now, that's not to say that, you know, every card couldn't be card of the year, but I think this just has the potential for being, like, a sneaky good PLE.
Yeah, since there's not a lot of wrestling that happens in Germany, I think they're going to put a lot of focus on the actual matches themselves. So I think all five of the matches are going to have a good amount of time to them. Kind of the opposite of the AEW side of it, where since you have the five matches, you can kind of pour a lot of time into the matches while still having the stories develop. So I don't really see any of the feuds that are tied to these matches ending at this PLE. But I think we're going to get some good quality matches out of all of them. so you're not going to worry about anything just kind of stinking up the show. Everything should be at least average. We have a couple of matches that'll be good matches that we look back on for the year. And so my only question will be if we see any titles change hands, because I'm really not seeing any potential for that. But
not really.
And that kind of goes to your point. You got to have some level of surprise. So somebody's got to turn heel or some return's got to happen if you're not going to have a title change. So that's the part that's curious to me, what they decide to have the talking point be for this show.
I don't know. I think it's going to have to be something that involves Roman. You know, we saw Roman get rode off after what happened a couple weeks ago.
Well, yeah, but the Bloodline aren't even on the show.
Right. But like Solo said, I'll be back for you after I'm done with Roman to Cody.
Mm-hmm.
So we could potentially see the Bloodline get involved in this match.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
You know, hypothetically, just based off what Solo previously said.
Mm-hmm.
But that would probably make the Bloodline saga, you know, just the talking point, kind of overshadow everything else, like Roman coming back at SummerSlam. Yeah.
But hey, if you're not going to have any title changes, you got to have something.
That's why I'm kind of online to say it's going to be Kevin or Bianca that does that heel turn. Because like you said, there has to be that talking element, but there has to be a talking element for both shows. It can't just be one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, so if we see the turn on Cody.
Well, Bianca and Kevin are on the same show, though.
Bianca, Jade, that's what I'm saying. So like, if Bianca or Kevin turn heel, we got to see something from the Raw side,
right.
You know, which could be the Judgment Day and Terror Twins match. You know, that's because I don't think Randy is going to beat Gunther.
Yeah.
I don't know what could possibly happen in that match.
I really think they're just doing that match because it was an unclean win. And it's
for
just
sure.
Unfinished business to deal with.
Just basically tying up loose ends.
Yeah.
Let's go back through this match card. Let's give our, you know, final predictions, see if we agree, mm-hmm. and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Terror Twins versus newly renovated Judgment Day. We both said Terror Twins.
Yeah.
For sure. Next match, we saw a strap match, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre. I said CM Punk.
Punk for me.
For sure. Tag Team Championship, Alba Fire, Isla Dawn versus Jade and Bianca.
Yeah, only Unholy Union for me.
Yeah, I agree. Last two matches, Cody and Kevin.
Gotta go with Cody.
Cody, for sure. Finally, Gunther and Randy Orton.
The King of the Ring General.
That's right. So I think we agree across the board.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to your point earlier about it being a glorified house show, where it's not really a lot of newsworthy changes as far as titles and things like that. But since it is a PLE, there's going to be some talking points. So it's got to be in the form of heel turns, some unexpected return no one's expecting.
And that's what makes it so crazy to me, because this is just like a small version, like a small PLE,
mm-hmm.
that starts at 11 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
So there's most people won't watch this PLE tomorrow. They'll wait until tomorrow night to watch it. They did it on a good weekend with it being, you know, a holiday. People mm-hmm. have the time to sit and watch it, you know, on a Monday after they're, you know, had a long lake day on a Sunday. I think that, you know, the big talking point here though is that this PLE is basically designed to start the shaping of Bad Blood.
Yeah.
Like I told you, I'm obsessed with this PLE coming back. I'm really excited to see what they do. This pay-per-view was designed to settle those blood feuds, like mm-hmm. you were saying, those nasty rivalries, the John Cena's and the Edges, or the Cena's and the Ortons.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this was one of those pay-per-views that was like, oh yeah, you know, we're going to see some blood, we're going to see some violence, we're going to see some just awesome car crashed type of wrestling. And I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see what this PLE tomorrow has and really what it leads into. So yeah, Ajum, leave us with your closing statements and yeah, we'll go from there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. It's pretty much a setup show, so I think they're going to be trying to get a yearly event over to Germany, so this is kind of testing the waters for that, so I don't expect a lot of changes with titles, but there's going to be some story talking point that's going to lead to either close to, if not the main event of Bad Blood. To me, you got to have some type of Hell in a Cell at that PLE, so I think we're going to be seeing over the next few weeks which feud kind of warrants that. Maybe it's a Punk and Drew. Maybe it's something else. We'll kind of see, especially if they pull the trigger on a heel turn with Kevin or Bianca. One of those two could have a match that would be worthy of that stipulation.
Yep.
So there's just a lot of setup. We just kind of have to see, and that's part of the fun. We don't really know what they're going to treat Bad Blood as, if they're going to have it as a big spectacle with a lot of things changing, or if it's going to be just more like a status quo PLE where maybe there's one or two title changes,
right?
One or two returns, no real changes with like face heel dynamics, and just kind of keep things moving from there. So we'll see what they do with it. But yeah, I think it's going to be a setup show, and this is going to kind of sow the seeds for who's going to be getting a heavy stipulation, violent type match at Bad Blood.
For sure. Now, one thing I want to say before we end this is that as pro wrestling fans, we are very lucky right now. You know, last weekend we had All In out of Wembley Stadium. I loved that show. We were supposed to be at Dave & Buster's. They told us last minute that they were canceling. It was a whole deal. We won't get into it. But I did come to my place. I did watch the show. I was very impressed top to bottom with how that PLE looked. I'm excited for tomorrow's PLE and then next Saturday's AEW All Out show in Chicago. Three straight weekends of pay-per-view style wrestling. We know AEW, at least me personally, has some of the best pay-per-views currently as far as product goes.
Yeah, they're stacked.
I'm so stoked to see where both of these companies end up. The one thing I wanted to catch you with before we ended, I don't know if you saw this on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
John Moxley came back to AEW.
I did, yeah.
Told Tony Schiavone, this isn't your company anymore.
Yeah.
So, it got the wheels turning. We saw a little bit later in the show, Moxley was walking around backstage. Saw a couple of enhancement guys.
Mm-hmm.
Basically grabbed him, said, you know what this company needs? And then in came a female.
Yeah.
At first glance, I thought that was Becky Lynch. It's funny because I was telling you last week and I thought that might happen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
No.
But from the side view, I was like,
there's
no way this is happening right now.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be Marina Shafir, which there's no hate there. You know, everyone has to get over some way.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of reference in the promos that Moxley said that very, very much mirrored a same promo that aired on WCW Nitro all these years ago when a specific McMahon showed up.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
So,
I heard some of the promo, but yeah, I didn't catch the connection between that one.
Yeah, so there's a lot of similarities in the two promos. So, there is a rumor out there that there's a new, you know, group in AEW starting, potentially a start of an invasion angle where Shane does come in, tries to overthrow Tony. I think that that could be, if written correctly, could be extremely, extremely good.
Well, yeah, because you already have that EVP struggle, so if you get a McMahon in there too?
Yeah, but see, what's funny is that what I was thinking was, we need a heel Moxley. Heel Moxley is just guaranteed to put asses in seats.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say that is because he's like heel Roman. All three of the Shield members, when they're heel, are some of the best characters at that time of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, when he was doing the Monday Night Messiah gimmick,
yeah,
crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodline Roman, awesome. Heel Moxley has all the potential in the world to be great. So I think that if they do end up going that route, we need a Young Bucks, John Moxley, Marina Shafir, headed by like Shane McMahon versus Kenny Omega type of like group that's headed by Tony Khan. You know what I mean? But I do think Shane getting involved with AEW does give them those tools to be great.
Shane's an innovator. So as long as you give him a position where he can let his creative mind go, that's a very big asset.
Do you think with kind of the information that I give you now that it's a little bit more plausible than what people may think?
It still would be very hard to believe that you see a McMahon there, but I mean, the seeds have been sown. So we've seen that Shane's met with Tony. We know that Shane has an interest in being in the wrestling space still. He has a lot of ideas that he didn't get a chance to do in WWE. So from his perspective, kind of like with a lot of wrestlers, why they went to AEW, a lot more creative freedom.
Right.
So for Shane, it would just be on more of an administrative level. But who knows? Maybe he brings his best wrestler in the world gimmick back. Who knows? But
see, and I don't know if that's even necessary, which we're not going to get too much into the weeds with this. This wasn't dedicated for that. I just wanted to kind of bring it up to Adrian.
Well, no, that's a fair point. And whenever I hear people talking about Shane being involved with AEW, that's kind of how it is, where he's an authority figure, kind of right. like the owner of the company or one of those types of roles. You put him there. He's already proven he can play that character well. And so, I mean, yeah, if there were parallels in the promo that Moxley did, then, yeah, I would see that leading up to it, because Shane's really the only person that's been teased, not directly on their television, but as far as, like, an outside person coming in, he's the only person that could really come in and have that be a big payoff if they suddenly introduce a new authority figure there.
Right.
So, hey, if that's kind of the first seeds for that, and by the World's End pay-per-view at the end of it, we got Shane involved AEW, that's huge.
Now, my last question for you before we end this. If Shane McMahon is involved with AEW, mm-hmm. do you think we see them selling out arenas again? And do you think we see them cross that million viewer threshold?
I think it depends on how much control they give Shane. So if it's just purely in storyline where he's just like the authority figure, like Christopher Daniels and the EVP, well, they're really EVPs, but right, kind of right. like where it's just within the story.
Sure.
Then I don't think so. I think it'll just be that one feud that's hot and you won't see much change anywhere else. But if they actually hire Shane on in an administrative role and he's at that level of EVP in the company or something close to it.
Like an authoritarian that's like legitimate?
Yeah, like he actually has creative control over AEW. Then yeah, I could see, at least with the million threshold, I could see that.
Okay.
Now selling out arenas, that's a big step. That would take more time. Like you would need to maintain that for like close to a year, I think, before you're doing that.
Now, let's look at one more thing here. The million threshold, like you said, that's a little bit more plausible.
Mm-hmm.
It's no secret now. AEW has a new deal with Warner Brothers Discovery. Looks like they are moving strictly to, or not maybe strictly to streaming, but they are going to be having a streaming platform through Max.
Mm-hmm.
All the PLEs are going to be on there. Supposedly, you can watch the PLEs that are coming up on there just for the mm-hmm. price of the subscription monthly, which, for me, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But as far as the shows go, do you think it would be beneficial for them to maybe fly the route of moving to smaller venues for the time being, such as like, you know, these like arenas like here, like what we had was the First Bank Center mm-hmm. or the Blue Arena in Loveland. Those arenas host probably 6,000 people to 8,000 people,
mm-hmm.
which still seem a little bit big for them right now. Do you think it'd be beneficial for them to do like the GCW style where they go to halls or, you know, a little bit bigger gymnasiums, things like that? I think it would add a really cool feel to the company. And sure, people will always have something negative to say about it.
Yeah.
But I think it would give a lot of creativity to what they're doing. I think that would be kind of cool if that's the route they ended up going.
I think if they don't bring Shane on, that's what they should do. Because right now they're getting a lot of flack with their ticket sales right now, and it's mainly because they're trying to directly compete with WWE.
Right.
So to me, if you don't have a big point to bring in new people like a Shane coming on, then yeah, you do that to get more of that indie feel, especially for your weekly television. Go ahead and do that, and then that way you get more of an intimate feel. The crowd seems more into everything. You hopefully can get some more buzz from the emotion of the storylines that way. And then, I mean, as far as the PLEs go, I feel like they're running the risk just now of having saturation with them. There's too many of them going on. Like, we just had one. There's one in less than 2 weeks. Stuff like that going on.
See, and
me, you kind of focus in. It's like, okay, what are our big four? We'll focus on trying to get stadium coverage for those. Everything else, let's focus on a smaller venue and trying to sell it out.
Yeah, and I think that's something AEW's established what their big four is now.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Slam, obviously. They're doing the Forbidden Door next year in Wembley.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to me. I felt like that was, you know, something that was supposed to be an American type of thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not hating on that. I have no business to. But so far we have Grand Slam, All In, then we have the New Japan AEW crossover show, Forbidden Door.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the beginning of the year we have the Wrestle Dream pay-per-view,
right?
Or, what is that, Wrestle Dynasty pay-per-view, where it's like all of the non-WWE big time promotions
much, yeah.
They're all going to unite in Japan, and I think that's going to be epic. If it wasn't such a late start, I'd watch that one. But I mean, let's be real. Who's going to stay up till 1 or 2 in the morning to watch a 5-hour show?
Only the fanatics on that.
And you know what? I might just damn do it. But
yeah, I do agree, though. I think that they should kind of scale back. Now, if you get Shane on, then you got to go ahead and go full sail with what you're doing now. See what you can fill out. See what you can sell. But yeah, if they don't make any moves, they're going to wait. Because even if they're still profitable with what they're selling, it's to the point now where because of how their media is portraying what they're trying to do compared to WWE, it looks bad for them when they're saying that, but then they're making the sales that they are.
Right.
So just to save face at this point, if you're not going to make a big move administratively to make a change in sales, then yeah, scale it back and then at least focus on working with what you have. It's like, okay, we know we can sell this much. Let's go to a venue that can hold this much.
Right.
Go from there.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. That puts a pretty little bow on this episode. This one has been one of my favorite episodes so far that we've done. I feel like this one's just kind of flowed a little bit easier.
Yeah.
You know, we were able to get everything set up pretty quickly tonight. You know, big weekend for us here in Colorado. Oh. We have NXT coming up and then Monday Night Raw. I expect that NXT show to be a really, really fun show. If it wasn't my wife's birthday, I would definitely be there. It was hard enough to talk her into going to Raw on Monday night with our 6-year-old. As far as the NXT show goes, I think we all agree that I think we all say his name in unison.
I don't think he's winning.
I think he'll appear with that NXT championship on TNA.
I don't think so.
I always told you, Forbidden Door or the Prohibited Portal, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The opposing person has to win the belt for the more viewership. Yeah. Joe Hendry wins the NXT championship and goes back to TNA. That will be huge.
Well, yeah, that'll go viral.
Big time. That will surpass anything AEW ever does for at least the next couple years, unless they bring in Shane. But this isn't me being like a new fanboy of NXT or anything. I've always been a mega proponent to like seeing people from other promotions win that promotion's belt. You know, and then at Survivor Series, let's say that Joe Hendry comes out and he goes up against, you know, Cody Rhodes or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that there's...
That'd be a good match.
Absolutely. I just think that it would be cool to see Joe Hendry from TNA, a non-contracted NXT talent,
mm-hmm.
win a belt.
Oh, there. It would be cool for sure. I don't know if they're going to be doing that.
See, and the fact that they're going back on the road tells me that it is possible. Because now they're going to try to get people to come in to their venues for shows that are on the road. Mm-hmm. NXT's going back out on the road. So it would make the most sense if you want to put asses in seats and for NXT to sell out arenas right now. You got to do something that's noteworthy in the wrestling world that really hasn't been done before. You know, unless this was the territory days that wasn't televised.
Right.
On national TV, you will never see a person from another promotion win a championship in a different company that's not their own. So if Sean was to say, let's do this, let's see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's be real, Ethan Page won the title by luck.
Well, yeah, it's a fatal four-way.
If Trick Williams doesn't turn heel in this match, which I think there's a lot of heel turns coming this weekend from all across the board.
I think Trick will be fine.
Yeah. Unless that happens, I don't see a reason why Joe Hendry doesn't win.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I will admit that the stipulation with him being the guest ref, that's the only way I could see it, where like Trick does something in
Hendry's
favor. Which
is what you called a couple weeks ago, might I add. You did say if Trick is the special referee, that's the only way you can get the belt onto Hendry.
Yeah, so I still stand by that. If you do, if Trick purposely does something in the match to give Hendry the win.
See, and that doesn't necessarily have to be the case either, because Hendry is a really good wrestler.
He is, but I just don't see them having him beat Page clean for the title.
Oh, it doesn't have to be clean. That's what makes this whole invasion angle so fun, if that's the route they decide to go.
Well, yeah, so like I could see Trick doing something screwy with his referee role to give
and that can set up like a really cool War Games for NXT too, because then we could be like Shawn Michaels could be like cut like a cut scene backstage where Shawn's like, I knew this was a bad idea, we shouldn't have had people from other promotions invade into our, you know, our locker rooms, takes the fall for it, and then he calls the people at TNA. Mm-hmm. You know, we see a conversation start to play out, and we do like a neutral War Game style match where half the ring is the TNA side of things and then the other half is the NXT ring.
That'd be cool.
And I think they should do it where they film Impact in that smaller little venue. I think that would look really, really cool on TV.
I will admit that would be nice, but I don't know. I still don't know if they'll pull the trigger on giving a world title to another promotion. I mean, I will admit that the setup is there for it. So if they're going to do it, this would be a great opportunity. But I'm just not sure.
And I'm just so jealous of the people that are going to get to witness it.
Well, yeah, I'm going to the show. So if this does happen, I will be there.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I can talk her into going, guys, but it's looking pretty slim right now.
Well, personally, I don't think that's happening, but.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But like I said, I will admit that this is probably the closest shot we've had to that ever for WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, because we knew Jordynne Grace wasn't going to beat Roxanne. No. Not to say anything negative there, but this match right here has all the makings of.
They've got a stipulation already built in that could allow this.
Right.
And plus, Hendry's been showing up on the weekly NXT TV, whereas Grace only did it for that one build.
Right. Yeah, no, this is so much different than what we saw with AEW and TNA a couple years ago. I think that this has benefited both companies really well, and I'd like to see it continue to go, but I think that it should go a route where, like, Sean is pissed that this happened in the first place and kind of go from there. I think that sets the seeds really well for a full invasion angle on both ends.
Well, yeah, and that would be a really good story, too, if Sean's mad that their world title's gone to another promotion, because that would make sense in real life. Like, they would be mad that their world title's not with a wrestler that they have contracted.
Exactly. And then it sets up, like, the, well, shit, Ethan Page and Trick Williams have to work together, and then you have, like, Tony D'Angelo and like you put the heels and the baby faces together on both ends
and like those old wars they did between the Nexus and the main roster.
Exactly. That's why I want to see like a Worlds Collide pay-per-view between NXT and TNA, like an actual show, not just like the crossover that they're doing right now.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, it's not that it's not good.
Well, that'd be the next step, though.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, let's be honest, this crossover is not going to be like a forever thing. It's going to end at some point, you know. It's not to say that it won't pick back up.
I think just the heavy push of it will end. I think hopefully they'll still be on good terms at the end of it, so they'll just have things happen for big events where you'll see a wrestler from the other promotion come over.
Yeah, like Royal Rumble, you know. Yeah. Let's say that this whole invasion thing does happen. You know, they take a couple months off from doing it once Hendry gives the title back to NXT somehow. You know, then it... The Royal Rumble, you know, we see the TNA graphic pop up on the screen,
right?
You know, and it's Joe Hendry or, you know, Moose, something like that. I think there's a lot of Nick Nemeth. You know how big of a pop that would get?
Yeah. And plus Matt Hardy was saying that they recorded some stuff for WWE recently too. So maybe the Hardys do something.
God, I hope not.
They want to have one last run to retire.
Dude, I am so sick of them. It's sad to say because what was it? 2016 when they returned back to WWE,
I
was
super
excited for it. And ever since the whole debacle with AEW and Sammy Guevara getting suspended because of an accidental, you know, botch, you know, nobody purposely does that.
Yeah.
That is not something you purposely do. It just so happens that every time one of the Hardys got hurt, it involved Sammy Guevara, which sucks. But again,
there was a trend.
I think it's just more crotchety old man syndrome than anything, which... You know, they're vets. They warrant that.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, it's almost been an hour already. Let's get out of here. Let's get the weekend started. And we'll hopefully catch up with you after Bash in Berlin, you know, either through TikTok or, you know, a quick podcast. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, we'll hopefully see everyone on Monday at Raw. And, yeah, as always, follow us on socials.
Yep, we'll still be posting everywhere. We'll be at the shows, and we'll see you again soon.
Awesome. Y'all take care.